Blog Talk Welcome. Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Donator, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. I'm excited to have my son, Xander Donator, as my guest today. Xander is a is a film editor, actor, musician, and singer-songwriter. Xander graduated from Chapman University and Dodge College of Film and Media Arts with a Bachelor of Arts, Fine Arts in Film Production and an emphasis on film editing. He was hired as a film editor for various reality TV shows after college. His first job was working on the ABC TV show Wipeout for seasons 6 and 7, and he is now working on a show called Married to Medicine Houston on Bravo. His passion for film began with creating many videos during high school, some for homework assignments. During Xander's junior year of college, he created a short film called Acts of God, which is a manifestation of his creative passions for film and music coming together. Xander studied acting from an early age and continued acting in musicals and plays during middle school and high school. Three of the plays he starred in include Grease, Into the Woods, and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. While attending high school, Xander also wrote his first songs, which were produced and recorded by Robert Berry, owner of Soundtech Studios in Campbell, California. The first two songs Xander wrote are on his dad's first album, Holiday on Earth, as bonus tracks. The second album by the Donators, D2, has songs by Xander and his dad, Dudley. Most of the songs on the album were the result of collaborations between the two, and the rest were written individually. During the show, you'll hear one of Xander's songs, Land of Dreams, from the D2 album. We'll be talking about the song, what it's like to work in Hollywood, and advice Xander has for kids graduating from high school and starting college. You can hear more songs by Xander and Dudley Donator on cdbaby.com. Welcome, Xander.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's good to be on the show.
It's so exciting to finally have you on the show. I've done so many of these shows, and I've wanted to have you as a guest for so long, and you're finally my guest today. It's so cool.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'd like you to start out by telling just a tiny bit about your passion path of development that started out with acting and music and then led into studying film in college.
Okay. Well, it all really started when I was in middle school and high school. That's when I really realized I loved doing arts and crafts and just really creative projects. And that's when I started acting. I did different plays after school that I would be in. And I also started doing the music with my dad, like you were saying, recording a couple albums while I was in high school. And all of this performance really made me appreciate just visual media in general. And I realized that when my friends and I would film things for fun, I would like to edit them together because I really like the timing of it, which is a portion of the music playing as well. But it's also a huge portion of what my job is now as an editor. And I really feel like a lot of it commingles, like you said, with the film Acts of God that I made. It's a movie about a man who sells his soul to the devil for incredible guitar ability and then decides he wants his soul back. So they have to use their instruments to fight each other. And it's just a really fun movie, but it is heavily about music because that's something I'm also really passionate about while also being able to show it in a film form as well.
And yes, and it's so wonderful when you can combine all of those different things that you enjoy into one thing and to have them overlap like that, to have the music, the film, the entertainment, the acting, your experience as an actor also. And during college at the Dodge Film School, you also got to create scripts and act in each other's plays, movies, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember freshman year specifically, I acted in a lot of other people's movies, just simple little projects, a little prompt that would take a couple minutes and stuff like that. But it was fun being able to help each other out. And that was a big part of college that was a big difference from high school too was really just high school for me, at least. I realized that that was a time to buckle down, really just make sure to get good grades, reinforce that you are able to be able to effectively use yourself in the world. And I feel like that that's what gives you the opportunity to do more so of what you want in college. So really just buckling down, making sure that you get good grades and keep a good work ethic. Because I think that's a big thing about school that a lot of kids don't necessarily think about, is that you're really building your work ethic to work during the day and to be able to work hard and effectively. And I feel like once you get to college, it's a lot more collaboration and really a lot of people coming together for a bigger project as opposed to just individual people.
That's interesting. I wonder if it's as true with other majors as it is with the film production major.
I'm sure it is to some extent. I mean, it depends on what kind of major you are, of course, but I think the liberal arts majors really do have a lot of collaboration together. But especially in film, when there's so many different portions of a film that need to get done by specialty people, it really works well for a collaboration environment.
And where you went to college at Chapman University and Dodge Film, College of Film and Media?
Media Arts.
Yeah, College of Film and Media Arts. What an incredible place. When we went on the tours of the colleges, I was just blown away by the place. And I loved the fact that they were going to let you start doing film day one instead of waiting till your junior year like you would have had to do if you'd gone to UCLA. So would you talk just a little bit about that, please?
Of course, yeah. And it was really cool because every year at Chapman, through their film program, they'd had us basically work on a bigger and bigger movie project each year. So it started off where we really were just coming up with ideas. A lot of the projects were just short 1-2 minute videos. Usually they didn't have dialogue, but we're trying to convey a specific thought, like a different theme kind of thing like that. And once we did that, it kind of started off with just handheld cameras. We'd get our friends to act in the movies. And then for the next year, like each year you get into it, you get a longer amount of time to make your movie. So eventually you get to 10, 20-minute movies. And you also have bigger sets, more people working on it for you, and really it just becomes more specialized the further you go through the program. That's why, for me specifically, I directed a junior-level movie. That was the movie Acts of God. And then for senior year, I specialized in editing and then edited two other people's films. So it was really going in, making stories, and then figuring out which part of the filmmaking process you liked the most, and allowing you to just choose that as what you want to focus on.
I see. So, like, for some people it was production, and some people it was film editing, and
there's people that work behind, there's, like, the cameramen, there's the production designers who are the people that set up all the decor inside of the locations and the costuming and things like that. And then there's also sound people specifically. There's editors like myself, directors. There's just a lot of different people. And then a lot of people that also work on set for lighting and for managing the camera reports and things like that. Just a lot of logistics to go into making them.
Yeah, when you see the end credits of movies, it's amazing how many names you see scroll by, and it just, or TV shows too, but especially with movies, there are so many people involved, and it obviously is a huge amount of collaboration, and so you need to be able to enjoy working in collaboration with other people to work
in
that business.
Well, that's a huge part of the industry too, is working with people that you like. Because something I've realized is that most of the jobs that I've been offered since I started off were through word of mouth. It was a person needs help, and I'm a trusted figure in someone else's mind, so they recommended me. And that's usually how it works. And that's, of course, why getting your foot in the door in the industry is really tough. But I think keeping a strong work ethic and really like a good life ethic of just making sure you stay on top of things. If you want to do something, you make sure you do it now instead of later. It really adds up the long-term gratification of a goal that you're trying to achieve, you know. And that's something I realized after I graduated college too, is that as soon as college was starting to wind down, it was the end of a portion of my life. And then I realized that I have to really work hard to make sure that I can find a job, that I can find something to do professionally so that I don't have to work at the Apple store anymore, which the Apple store was fun, but it's definitely nice to not be working in retail anymore too. I just send out emails to a bunch of different places. I just Googled my job and just emailed as many people as I could and tried calling them. And eventually I got the name Daniel Engelhart as a friend through my dad. And I met with him. He works at Lionsgate, and he offered to help me out sometime, try to find a job. And he actually gave me 3 job interviews, one of which was for Wipeout, which is where I started my career.
I remember that so well. We were on Maui, and we were celebrating your graduating from college and our anniversary and so many different things that we were celebrating, our family celebration vacations that we have on Maui. And then you got the call that you got the job on Wipeout that very last day of our vacation.
The last day.
It was just so exciting, though, to be able to celebrate you getting your first film career job on that last night where we were all together, and then you were going to fly back to the LA area and we were flying back to Marin County. So, yeah, that was just amazing, awesome timing.
Oh, it was so much fun, too. And it was so exciting to find that out, too, on the vacation.
Oh, I know.
I was just so appreciative.
Oh, me too. It's one of the things I'm so grateful for in our life. The time is going by really quickly, though, and I want to be sure we have time to play your song, Land of Dreams, which is from the D2 album, the second album that your dad and you created together. And do you want to – I'd like to talk to you about it after I play the song, but do you want to say a little bit about it before at all, or – do you want me to just play it and then we'll talk?
I think you should play it. Then we can talk about it.
Okay. All right. This is going to be Land of Dreams by Xander Denader. You wrote the song and you sing it and you play the guitar in it. What else?
That's correct. I think that about sums it up.
Okay. All right. It's 3.5 minutes long, and I'll play that and then we'll talk about it.
Awesome. Well, I hope everyone enjoys it.
That was Land of Dreams. Oh, Xander, I just love that song.
I
do.
really like it too.
It brings back such happy memories for us too, though, of going to Soundtech Studios with your dad and you and me and Robert Berry and recording the songs and then going to Fantasy Studios to have them mastered. And all of that happened on the summer before you went to college at Chapman. So it was an amazing summer.
It was so much fun. And being able to go down and record in the studio was really exciting too. And I remember actually for this song, it was really exciting too, because for the guitar lead in the middle of the song, I remember Dad had written something. And it was just kind of like not the most amazing lead. And I remember telling him, like, Dad, I want to write my own lead. So he put me in the room with the drums, and I actually came up with a little riff myself. And that's actually what's in the song. I just made it up in the studio, and now it's permanent. And I'm really happy with it, though.
It's so exciting how things like that happen in the studio. And there's just so many amazing things, and there's so many wonderful songs on that album, and
a lot of great things can happen the heat of the moment too when you're really passionate about something.
Oh, I know. I remember so many times when we would be there and Robert would just turn around and just use the keyboard, and all of a sudden there's like this amazing keyboard part that just appeared out of nowhere that was on one of the tracks.
Oh yeah, it sounds amazing. So that's what it sounds like now.
Yeah.
It was
but
amazing
the collaboration.
Watching him play. He's just so good at every instrument, too.
Oh, I know.
Every instrument.
Yeah. Well, his drums, that he did the drums for that. He also did the bass guitar. And did Dad play guitar in that song, or did just you and Robert work on that one?
I think it was actually just me. I think it was just me playing guitar on that one.
Well, Robert probably played bass, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit, though, about the song and about what it meant to you and why you wrote it, because you wrote it before you had ever lived in Southern California.
That's true.
Not even sure if you had been to L.A. yet, had you?
I had been to L.A. But
you had been there to see the colleges.
Mm-hmm. I had indeed. But basically the song started off with almost a more pessimistic view of LA, just being intimidated by the industry and how big and just kind of really abrasive it can be. But it was originally called Land of Smog, which there is one reference to smog in there. And I remember you, when I wrote it, said you should make it more positive. You should make it Land of Dreams, because that's the whole point of it. That's why people are in this big hustle and bustle, is to try to achieve their dreams. So a lot of it is really just about, like, the beginning I imagined was just getting to L.A., you see the signs, and then you realize immediately that it's a pretty crazy hustle and bustle. But just as long as you can see through the smog and you just really work hard and you know exactly what you want, then that's how you can find out this is the land of dreams. It's kind of like finding the place while you're still in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to appreciate it for the weird, interesting quirks that it has.
Right. And you know, the interesting thing, too, about you originally wanting to call it Land of Smog is back in the middle of the 70s, mid to late 70s, when I used to live down in San Jose, oh, my gosh, the smog there was just terrible. And down in L.A., the smog was terrible. You could barely see through it at all. And
oh, man.
The smog,
I'm glad it's gotten better, at least.
Oh, my God. It's compared to what it used to be, there is absolutely no smog down there or in San Jose in comparison. You couldn't even see the hells in San Jose a lot of times.
Oh, geez.
It was really scary how thick it used to be, and I know that it probably was like that in L.A. too.
Even though
I didn't
really spend
any time down there. But I think it was Sir Ben Kingsley we had seen on Craig Ferguson's show being interviewed, and he was talking about how he was flying into L.A. after coming back from a trip and how he was thinking about how it is a land of dreams. And so that was what gave me the idea to suggest saying that you could maybe call it Land of Dreams, and that it is about the dreams that
And I like the idea, too, because I realized that as much as Land of Smog was kind of just a joke name to as a way to refer to L.A., like, I got to be excited about where I'm going to live. I can't have that attitude toward it. I have to be ready to see the Land of Dreams, not the Land of Smog. And I think that's really a big part of why I'm happy and doing what I'm doing out here and really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's because of looking at what I always say too is what we look for is what we find, what we see. And so if you're looking for the good things, you find them. And you know, some people can look at something and see that there's one thing wrong with something, and there may be eight or nine things that are right with it, and they'll just focus on the one thing that's wrong. And there's just so many good things about the area besides the traffic.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I experienced some traffic today, but it wasn't too bad. I got to sing in the car, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to be able to do that for a little while. But, I just realized that there's so many different neighborhoods. There's so much culture in L.A. that you really have to go out and find. If you don't find it, it's not coming to you. So I think that's when a lot of people get really annoyed with the traffic and don't appreciate L.A. for what it is. And I think the industry is a similar way, too, where you have to work hard, you have to get your feet wet, put in your time, and then that's when it starts to become really rewarding, when you're really working on big projects that millions of people are watching. Like, that's a crazy thing that I didn't even really think about, is that even the smaller shows, the reality shows that I've worked on, a lot of them get multi-millions of viewers, and that's something that I worked on that I helped to entertain people, and that's exactly what I want to do, is entertain people however I can, which I think helps explain why I have so many interests that involve the entertainment industry.
True, yeah, and all the music and the songs and the acting. I still can see you acting at some point too, because you were so good in all the plays. I loved you as Teen Angel and Roger in Grease, and as Charlie Brown and Good Man Charlie Brown. You were really great in that too, and as the Baker in Into the Woods. And the fact that you can sing and act is really cool. Yeah, those are really, really happy memories. Well, we're getting close to the end of the show, so I need to mention that next week on Wednesday, June 17th, 2010, my guest will be Lynn Rose, and we'll be talking about how Lynn is living her music as a transformational speaker, singer, and TV and radio host. And people can sign up for my e-newsletters at my website, www.margojoydenator.com, to receive information about the shows. And I want to have all of you out there listening think about how you would answer these questions. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, Xander, having you in my life has been such a joy ever since day one, actually since even before you were born. I just could sense that you were going to add joy and fun to our life, and you have ever since the very beginning.
And you've been an incredible mother. Thank you for supporting me throughout all this. Without that, I wouldn't have been able to make it. This is so difficult of an industry to break into, that without all the support and all the lessons that you've taught me throughout my life, they really have shaped me into be a positive person. I look at the good in everything, and I just try to find the funny in everything. Anytime something weird happens, I just say that was bound to happen and just make it into a funny story. What you said about the limiting beliefs, just laugh at yourself. Just be able to appreciate the good and say everyone has bad stuff happen. there's usually a way to get out of it and a way to turn it around. And as long as you're ready to put in the work and really do that, then you can really achieve what you want to do.
Well, and I used to love how you would say that you thought of mistakes as like stepping stones to success. And it's true, because if you're not willing to make mistakes, you're not going to get anywhere, because when you're learning something new, you're going to make mistakes.
What's the difference between looking at a mistake as a failure or a happy accident? Because a lot of times...
A happy accident.
Yeah. A lot of times you come up with really interesting things by just doing something on accident. And I love when things like that happen. That's why I love jokes, because a lot of times it's just two weird thoughts that work well together, you know?
Yeah, you always are looking for the humor and things. And you've done some stand-up comedy down there too, haven't you?
I have. I did a couple of shows, and I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really scary at first. It was really intimidating before I went on, just trying to remember what jokes I wanted to tell and stuff like that. But once I was up there, it was just really fun being able to just tell the audience a story of my weirdness and my life and what I like and what I don't like. And luckily people seemed to really like it, so I definitely want to try it again soon.
Yeah, that's really cool. Hopefully one of these days your dad and I will be down there when you're doing it so that we can see that. And also record some more songs, too. It would be really fun to go back to the Soundtech Studios and record more songs with Robert. That's always a total joy.
If the second album's called D2, I feel like 3D has to be next.
I think your dad has said that, too. Yeah, so 3D.
3D is the logical next step for us.
Exactly. That's so true. I just want to say that to everyone out there listening, if you go to cdbaby.com, I'll put the link in the email newsletter, and it's also in the radio show information. You can go there and you can hear samples of all the songs on D2. There's 13 songs on it, and you can also download them individually for, I think it's like 99 cents each, and you can buy the whole album as a download, or you can get the actual CD.
And it's a cool-looking CD, too.
No, it is, yeah. I love that cover that your dad designed for it. It's so awesome.
It's great cover art.
Yeah. Oh, I wish we had more time to talk about all the different songs that are on there and about the things that are coming up for you next. And
Do you have any last questions for me?
We have only about a minute left, so what's your last piece of advice that you'd like to give everyone?
I would say the best piece of advice I could give, at least that's worked for me, is just to, if you don't know something about something and you're curious, Google it. Just look it up. Just try to learn more about things. And you'd be surprised how quickly you could get into something you really want to do if you just know even a little bit about it. But as long as if you're looking it up, if you're trying to learn about it, really putting yourself out there, then that's not only going to attract it into your life, because you're going to be more accustomed to it, you'll know about it and everything like that, but you'll be ready for it. And I think that if you try hard enough and know your stuff, then you can achieve whatever you want. I really think that.
I believe it too. Well, we only have 10 seconds until the live show is over, and I just want to say thank you so much, Xander, for being on the show and for...
You're welcome.
Yeah, everything. I love you, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a wonderful day. Bye.